GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Body Armor Edge is sports hydration with a boost of caffeine. With 100 milligrams of caffeine and 1,000 milligrams of electrolytes, Body Armor Edge is boosted hydration for today's athlete. Get your Body Armor Edge today at your local Kroger.
Keep it locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN Louisville. And this segment of the show is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. At Delta Dental of Kentucky, they believe everyone deserves a healthy and happy smile. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. Simply call 1-800-955-2030. That's 1-800-955-2030. Or you can visit them online at ky.deltadental.com. And joining us now on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline, the President and CEO of the Louisville Sports Commission, Mr. Carl Schmidt. Carl, how are you this morning?
Great, Dan, Louis. Good to be on with you guys.
Well, we talked about it when it was announced last week, but you've got a pretty exciting class coming into the Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah, we do. Four people in the dinner induction ceremony will be in August. All four of them showed up at the press conference announcement, and I will tell you, all four very humbled by the news that they're being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and just really terrific people.
Well, yeah, I mean, a cool, interesting group, frankly. You know, you get Dallas Thornton, who's kind of a throwback to those days where we think about the Harlem Globetrotters, and then, of course, Mitch Barnhart and Sue Feimster from UK. I think locally, of course, lots of us in my age group watched Michael Bush on the field here. How was it having Michael back in town?
Yeah, so he is an interesting guy. I understand he's taken up bowling.
Right.
He's not quite a bowler. So, you know, you just, the guy, he's like typical great athlete, throw him or her a ball and they can play with it, right? So, yeah, Michael Bush, a guy that was Mr. Football in Kentucky, was two-time Kentucky Football Player of the Year.
Wow.
And as a senior, finished second in Mr. Basketball. So could have gone to a lot of colleges and played either sport, chose to go to the University of Louisville. He was just an amazing running back. And there's a game, I was watching some clips of Louisville playing in the Liberty Bowl against Boise State. Louisville's head 41-40. They get the ball in the fourth quarter, about 5 minutes to go, and drive the ball down the field, run the clock out, kick a field goal, end up winning 44-40. And I remember Mike Tirico, the play-by-play announcer, saying that Michael Bush is dominating the game as a running back on the ground in this quarter like I've never seen a running back do. So he could just take over a football game. Was a great athlete and went on to an NFL career, 6 years. Many people remember the high school game, Trinity Male, the 59-56 state championship game, where Michael Bush was the quarterback for Male High School, and he throws for 480 yards, six touchdowns, rushes for over 100 yards, plays defense, makes five tackles, actually returned punts and kickoffs in that game as well. Just an amazing athlete and a good person, good human being, and humbled to be coming into the Hall of Fame.
That's great.
Yeah, that's terrific. And, of course, another inductee is Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director at the University of Kentucky. Hard to believe, Carl, that he's been there 20 years already. Go ahead.
No, he's been there 20 years, and what the Kentucky athletics has done under him is just unprecedented. The national championships, most people know the men's basketball, but women's volleyball, which is just an amazing feat. Rifle, they've won national champ. They've won 20 conference, 48 regular season and conference tournament championships, including the first time ever in baseball, men's golf, women's tennis, women's swimming and diving. The men's tennis team just finished runner-up as national champions in a week ago. Their academics, 3.0 grade point average for 20 consecutive semesters, community service, graduation rates that are off the charts. He's overseeing over $300 million in improvements to their facilities. Balanced budget, hasn't taken a dollar from state government or the university, and in fact is donating $65 million for a science building on campus. So his you know, and still going, right? And the thing, Dan, that I didn't know, so I read his bio, he has climbed Mount Kilimanjaro twice. He has climbed Mount Rainier. He has climbed a couple of 14,000 mountains in the Grand Tetons, and was so humbled when we called him, he almost was in tears.
Did you know that about Mitch, Dan?
No, I did not.
I'm sorry, I'm a little stunned.
But he is a pretty private person.
Yeah.
And doesn't get out in front of it.
I think, Carl, to me,
the most important thing is the facilities that he has built. It seems like every year a sport at UK gets a new facility to play in.
Well, and it's very competitive out there. You know, some people actually call it an arms race in college athletics, that if you don't have the latest, greatest facility, that you're going to fall behind. And not only doing it in football, not only doing it in basketball, but doing it what is referred to as the Olympic sports now, where they have quality facilities, they can recruit, they can compete. And, you know, the evidence is, look at the accomplishments. But, you know, back then I asked his wife, she came with him on at the press conference. They were headed, they left here and went right to University of Illinois to watch the men's tennis team play. And I asked her if she accompanied Mitch on these expeditions. And she said, no, their daughter does, but that she stays home and prays. Safe return.
You need that.
There you go. So kind of walk people through the process here. So someone like Dallas Thornton, who's been out of the limelight of sports for a while, gets in this year as part of the 2022 class. Can you talk about the process for including someone like him?
Yeah, so we have two PUC processes. One, we have a 17-member selection committee. People make nominations. Anyone can nominate someone. We screen those nominations to make sure they meet the criteria, and then we send that information along to the selection committee. They vote. We don't see any votes. We have a third-party company, Dean Dorton, which is a financial services company actually based in Lexington, offices in Louisville. They tabulate the votes. They send us the results, and people get in that way. The other way they can get in is we have put together what we refer to as the bygone era selection team. And that group looks at people who meet criteria from years ago. And what happens, we have found, and we checked with a lot of other halls of fame, and it's fairly typical that you have contemporary voters, and they are more interested in contemporary people. And so we put a process in place for the bygone era. And Dallas Thornton is a guy that was selected by the bygone era selection team.
Very cool.
So here's a guy. Here's a guy, Dan, that was All-State basketball player at Mayo, but he also played football. He threw a no-hitter in baseball. He was a 220 guy in the track team, and he goes to Kentucky Wesleyan, and in 4 years there, they win two Division II national championships, and they finished third a third time. So they really had a dominating program when he was at Kentucky Wesleyan.
Yeah, I remember Dallas. He played a couple of years in the ABA, and that's where right. I remember him from. And then, of course, had a long career with the Harlem Globetrotters. Carl, I applaud you for that. The basketball, Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, has the same thing that they call the Veterans Committee. And it's to be eligible for the Veterans Committee vote, you have to be out of the game of basketball for 35 years. But it's exactly what you just described. It's to make sure that some of these men and women, didn't fall through the cracks and should be in the Hall of Fame. And I applaud you for that.
Well, and another person, the fourth member, Sue Feimster. Now, here's a great story. Sue, from Frankfort, Kentucky, went to UK undergraduate and graduate school, was a champion of girls and women's sports even before Title IX. Now, this happens to be the 50th anniversary year of Title IX, so it's appropriate that she comes in. And she, she started a girls' high school state championship tournament before the KHSA had one. She was overseeing intramural and club sports at UK, and then a bunch of women around the country got together. And this was before the NCAA. The NCAA did not offer women's championships until 1981. So this organization started called the Association for Intercollegiate Athletics for Women, the AIAW. UK was a charter member of it. Sue was there. She was a basketball coach. She hired swimming coach, track coach, volleyball coach, tennis coach. And they had a separate athletic department for several years. And she was a women's AD. And then they merged. And she continued on and just has a tremendous legacy in championing girls and women's sports nationally and in the state of Kentucky.
So this year's class, I think all four of them have very obvious and ties to the state of Kentucky, the area here locally. Once in a while, though, does it ever pop up that you go, oh, right, that guy, he's from Kentucky, she's from Kentucky, with someone like Romeo Crennel, who left the state in 1974 and was part of the class last year?
Yeah, and a lot of times we forget that. And right. It's our job at the Sports Commission to bring that information up to either the bygone era team or the regular selection committee, and Romeo was nominated. And once we started looking into his background, all the things he'd done, all those Super Bowl rings he has. And, he was funny story last year. He was talking about his five rings and Rachel Commissar, who was a swimmer at the University of Kentucky, and she won Olympic gold. And she's on stage and she looks over Romeo and she pulls up her skirt and pulls down at her ankle, and she goes, like, I have five rings too. They happen to be the Olympic rings. So we all got a good laugh out of that. But yeah, you just want to make sure that you're looking at the right people, and there are so many people that are deserving, and people from years ago and contemporary people. And a guy like Mitch Barnhart, it's amazing what he's accomplished. Michael Bush was a phenomenal high school athlete. Could have gone to any college in the country and played football. Could have gone to many and played basketball. Sue Feimster, we're so pleased it's the 50th anniversary. Dan, I have a question for you. You were about the same time, right? You came out of Kentucky, what, 71,
yeah.
2?
No, 70,
1970. Okay, 70. Yeah. So What is your recollection of girls and women sports? I mean, they were just starting. Well, you were actually before it, but there wasn't much going on in girls playing in college back then, was it?
No, not at all. And I can't remember any of the women's sports, the Title IX was really responsible for making schools do that, which was certainly the right thing to do. But I'm happy to hear that Kentucky, it didn't take Title IX for Kentucky to start getting into that era. But when I was there, I can't remember them having, they might have had volleyball, but that was about it.
Well, and we were talking with Sue about what it was like back in those days, and she said there really weren't any rules, and these women just said, this is not right. We're not going to wait for the big groups like the NCAA. We're going to go out and do it on our own, and they did. And eventually the NCAA came around, but boy, Can you imagine trying to put together a something just starting from scratch with no rules and very little financial support, but just knowing it's the right thing to do?
Yeah, no, for sure. Carl, I've been to a number of induction ceremonies for the Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame, and ever since, how many years have you done it now? You took it over, four or five?
Yeah, 4 years ago. Yeah, this will be our fifth class.
You do a terrific job. It's really, and we'll get to the particulars here in a minute. But is this an unusually small class? I can't remember there ever being only four inductees.
It is, and what we do is we look for a natural break in the voting for the regular committee. And, you know, it just so happens that Mitch Barnhart and Michael Bush were just so far removed from anybody else. And then last year there was no bygone era, so we made the determination we would put two people in from the bygone era, and that's Sue and Dallas. And so, yeah, that's the class. Now, we're also Kenny Perry. We're hoping that Kenny Perry can come someday. He's been selected, but his golf schedule has not allowed him to come in. So, yeah, four, you know, sometimes it's five, sometimes it's six, but, you know, it'll be a terrific group coming in. They have so much that they've accomplished in their careers.
So you have a really interesting selection committee, including a lot of people that people around here would know: Eric Crawford, Jody Demling, Kendrick Haskins. And then there's a guy on this list, and I really have to start to wonder how legitimate your organization is. It looks like you will let Marcus Maben vote on this, and then you let him vote anonymously. I mean, is there any chance he voted for Mitch Barnhart?
Well, I will tell you that Mitch Barnhart got lots of votes.
I believe
it. How do we say this from Ashland to Paducah? You know, so right. It was, and including in the 502 area code. So, we try to get a mix of people from around the state and people with diverse backgrounds. And I will say that we're very pleased that we look at these. We have the people that tabulate the votes kind of do a graph for us to see if there's any like outliers and people that are just way out of the, you know, voting crate. And it's pretty, they clearly put a lot of thought and effort into it. But Marcus is a voter, and, you know, we're pleased to have him doing it. He's got his own style, I should say.
Carl, this the Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremonies is one of the more visible things that the Sports Commission does. But I want you to give our listeners an idea of exactly what you do and how much your work benefits the city of Louisville.
Okay, well, thank you for the opportunity, Dan. So we really have a two-pronged mission. Our primary part of our mission is economics, and that is attracting sporting events to our community that fill up hotel rooms and fill up restaurants with people and our sports attractions. And a lot of events are youth travel events that people don't even know are going on, like the largest indoor archery tournament in the world takes place at the fairgrounds. It was a couple weekends ago.
Yep.
15,000 archers from middle and high schools from all over the country. The largest girls travel basketball tournaments in the country that will take place at the fairgrounds in July. 15,000 girls between the ages of 13 and 17 here. And Memorial Weekend, we'll have one of the Nike Elite boys travel basketball events here. The Ironman was something we brought to town. We work with our local universities on bringing NCAA championship and postseason competition here. So we own and operate eight events. We created the Paul Horning Award. We also have an event called the Urban Bourbon Half Marathon, which is a boutique destination event that takes place in October. So yeah, it's economics to bring people down that spend money. The other part, Dan, is a community outreach under an umbrella organization that we own called Louisville Active, and is try to promote active lifestyles with people in our community for better health. And we've really focused on youth and kids. We've had some grant dollars that came from the Gil Holland and Augusta Brown Holland Foundation Sociable Weavers Foundation allows us to do sports grants under an umbrella called Sports Fund to get more kids in underserved neighborhoods playing recreational level sports. We've had we have a program called Playing It Forward, where we get gently used or sporting equipment or new equipment that people have outgrown and get it in the hands of kids that can't afford it. And we have transferred probably 14,000 pieces of equipment and wearables to kids that can't afford it. So, yeah, dual mission, nonprofit, labor love for all of our staff.
So you mentioned some of those events that you have going on, and the Nike EYBL group will be in town here, frankly, in a couple of days here. How can people get involved with that?
Yeah, well, you can go online on our website and find background information on it. You can pay a fee and go and watch. These are the best of the best boys, which is the term for players in high school, up-and-coming players. There will be hundreds, if not several thousand, coaches here watching these players. And it takes place out at the fairgrounds at the Expo Center. And if you go on our website, you can find background information, or you can just show up and buy, you know, a pass at the gate. And that takes place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this coming weekend.
Now, Carl, give us that website, because that's also the way that you can get tickets to the induction ceremony, and give us the particulars on that. I think it's August 22nd, is that right?
August 22nd at the Galt House in downtown Louisville, and you can go to, the website is KY Sports HOF, as in Hall of Fame, kysportshof.com, and all the information is there about the Hall of Fame. And if you want information about the other events, you go to LouisvilleSports.org, LouisvilleSports.org.
All right. Last thing from me. 1990, Dan Issel gets into the Kentucky Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame. 1991, Johnny Unitas gets in. I mean, did we really put Dan Issel in the Hall of Fame before Johnny U? Is that what we did?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, the guy, you know, he's if there were – I'm not sure there were a better basketball player ever play at the University of Kentucky, right? There's been a lot of great basketball players. There may be some just as good, but I don't think there was a basketball player better than Dan Issel that played at our state university and went on to a fabulous career both in the ABA and the NBA. Now, Louis, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Did you actually major in linguistics in college? Did I find the right Louis? Is that you?
Man, okay. No, I have a French degree and a Spanish degree from undergrad, but I do have graduate degrees in linguistics.
Linguistics. So I was I played football at Moorhead, and I was on the 5-year plan.
Okay.
And I decided I wanted to coach in high school, so I came back over Christmas, and I did some interviews, and I got two job offers to teach and coach in high school. One at St. X to coach freshman football, and one at Bishop David to coach varsity football. But they could give me – I had to teach English, right? All I had was 6 hours of English, Comp 1 and Comp 2.
Okay.
I went back to see my advisor in the spring semester, my fifth year. I hadn't seen her in 3 or 4 years, and she goes, well, teaching minor in English takes 36 hours of English.
Ooh.
You got to carry 30 hours of English in your spring semester, then in summer school. I'm like, all right, I can do that. And I did it, and I had like 4 linguistics courses.
Oh, okay.
Man, my head was spinning.
I have never, you know, Carl, it's funny you say that. I've never told anyone that I studied linguistics, and no one's ever said, oh, so you took the easy route then. No, it's
Oh, goodness. They were teaching me things about the English language I had no idea.
Yeah,
and,
there you go.
And then I taught English for 3 years in high school.
That's awesome.
That's great. Well, look, now, guys, Carl.
Yes, go ahead.
Louis told me something before the show that made me a little sad, and that is you've announced your retirement.
Indeed, yes. Dan, the month that I turn 70, which will be February this coming, I'll turn 70. And, you know, it's time for some younger blood to take over, and time for me to play a little bit more golf and hang out with my grandchildren. I have a 3-year-old and a 2-day-old grandson and another one on the way in September, and my wife and I would like to travel a little bit, and I may go back to some of my roots. I was a sports PR guy for almost 30 years, and I may go back to working in some press boxes and press centers at sporting events around the country.
Well, that's terrific. We always appreciate your time. We appreciate what you're doing for the city of Louisville. And we wish you, we'll talk before your retirement, but we wish you best of luck in that as well.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, Carl.
Okay, thanks, Carl. That's Carl Schmidt, CEO and president of the Louisville Sports Commission. Does great work, and I don't think a lot of people know, Louie, about how much the Sports Commission does do.
Yeah.
And how much they benefit the community.
On top of the Hall of Fame and just all the other events that he talked about between, you know, the 5Ks and the 10Ks and all those sorts of things they put together, but the EYBL stuff, I think the Schnellenberger and the Hornig Awards are just both really good ideas and really interesting awards, especially the Hornig Award. Seems always, yeah. It's almost better than the Heisman, frankly, as far as versatility and you know, one of the very best players in college. And so, yeah, no, it's they do a lot of good stuff. I didn't realize how robust the Play It Forward program was as far as transferring equipment to kids who need it.
14,000, is that what he said?
Yes, that's, Dan, frankly, that's incredible. I mean, that is awesome, and it's more than commendable, but they should feel really good about it.
Yeah. Well, they do a great job, and I'll have to send Carl a check. He charged me a little more than I thought was reasonable to say I was the best player at Kentucky, but it was...
I had to try something. I was hoping Carl would be like, oh, yeah, I'm much more of a Johnny U guy, you know? I knew that was going to happen. Though.
Hey, Kentucky always comes in front of
there it is. There
you
it
got,
is.
You got to know that. Hey, a reminder that this segment of the show has been brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. At Delta Dental of Kentucky, they believe everyone deserves a healthy and happy smile. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. Just call 1-800-955-2030. That's 1-800-955-2030. Or you can visit them online at ky.deltadental.com.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel and Louis Ribot. Avery, you've gone off the rails with this bumper music. What in the world was that? That didn't sound like country and western or Motown to me.
It was Blame It on the Boogie. It was an instrumental version.
Well, I'm going to blame it on you. Get that trash off the air. I'm going to blame it on you, not the boogie. Hey, a reminder that Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel and Louis Ribot is brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. Vision, everybody has one. That epic cross-country road trip, your dream wedding, that kitchen renovation for churning out next-level entrees, and the folks at Stockton Mortgage can help you achieve your vision. If you're a homeowner, then you may have heard that home values are on the rise in most areas. Take advantage of the low rates to refinance your home mortgage to get cash out and finance your dreams. Give the folks over at Stockton Mortgage a call today or get started by going online at Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com, NMLS 8259, NMLSConsumerAccess.org, Equal Housing Lender.
So,
and Louis, I misspoke.
Oh, okay.
I was looking up, they're bringing Cracker Barrel by the studio today, right?
Yeah.
So it is not Grandpa's fried breakfast. My favorite is Uncle Herschel's favorite.
Uncle Herschel.
Uncle Herschel's favorite starts with two fried eggs with grits, plus fried apples or hash brown casserole. But here's the best part. Hickory smoked country ham.
Yeah, you love that ham.
And it comes with all the fixings, biscuits, and sawmill gravy.
All right. So, Avery, so do you have access to the Twitter feed for this station? Are you able to put up a poll?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just want you to put up the poll, and this is all I wanted to say, okay? Grits, question mark, answers, yes, no. That's it. Because I think grits are pretty polarizing. I think people like them or they don't.
And
which side do you fall on?
I'm on the yes side.
You like them?
I do.
Oh, no. So does Sherry. So does Sherry. When we go to Cracker Barrel, I give her my grits.
There it is. There you go.
But I am proud, Louie.
Yeah.
The second part of vitality.
Yes.
The first part, if you're disciplined enough, losing the weight it isn't really that hard. I mean, they do a great job of outlining exactly what you have to do. And if you do it, if you follow it by the letter, the weight just falls off. Yep. I lost 49 pounds.
Jeez.
But the second part is keeping it off.
Yep.
And you have to get up every morning and weigh and make sure that it doesn't start creeping back up there. And this morning when I got on the scale, I was right on my number.
Oh, there you go.
100% on my number.
I have lost 3 pounds post 40-day scheduling. So I'm losing weight very slowly, like a pound a week, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
And frankly, with First Communions and all that other, and Derby.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
Actually,
yeah.
It's not that bad.
it's
pretty good. I did want to ask, Dan, because we do have a sporting event tonight that you and I haven't talked about. UK gets going in the SEC tournament in baseball.
Yep.
Have you been following UK baseball? They're coming out of a winning 2 out of 3 against Auburn. We actually got a text on the text line. Hey, how do you feel about UK's baseball chances against Auburn tonight? Of course, that tournament is always in Hoover, Alabama.
Right. I have not followed them as closely as I should have. As Carl Schmidt said, I've been following the softball. The girls went to the regional tournament. The boys' tennis, I guess men's tennis, finished runner-up in the NCAA.
Yep.
I kind of stopped watching the UK baseball team because about mid-season, Louie, they lost their two best starting pitchers.
Right.
And I think they lost them for the season. I don't think
that's
they're
my understanding.
Back, are they?
No.
Huh?
That's my understanding, yeah, that they're not back.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting, though? They've won 4 of 5 to close the season here. And so they're at least playing better right now, and you know this as well as anyone, when you get to postseason, whatever sport you play, especially in the American setup of sports, whoever's hot at the end of the season can be the ones that go the furthest, right? And so
no question.
In the SEC, deep in baseball as it always is, you know, it's never easy to win the tournament or win multiple games in the tournament, but I absolutely give UK a puncher's chance at very least against Auburn tonight, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the facilities that has been upgraded. I've told this story before. My grandson, who pitches at University of Hawaii, a couple of years ago, we went to a UK baseball game, and so I made the mistake of telling Dwayne Peavy, who was at that time Mitch's assistant, I made the mistake of telling him that my grandson was being recruited by some schools and we wanted to come by and see the new baseball stadium. And so I said, can you get us some tickets? And he said, yes. He said, but because your grandson is being recruited, you'll have to pay for the tickets.
I know.
And it hurt badly. It hurt badly for me to go to the hip to buy baseball tickets. But that's what Carl was talking about.
Yes.
The baseball stadium down there is fantastic.
That's great.
And, you know, it's all part of Mitch working and upgrading all the facilities. I heard something during Jack's update that bothers me greatly.
Let's get into that.
U of L is cheating.
Okay.
They hired Mitch Wagner so that they can get DJ to come. I mean, how's DJ going to go anyplace else now? Hey, DJ, you want to disappoint Grandpa? I mean, Grandpa works here.
Yes. What are you doing? Yeah. Porter Jr., you know, Cade Cunningham. Yeah, that's how this works now, Dan.
Good for Milt. I'm glad that
I just kind of heard the last part of it. It's not an assistant position, is it? But it's a position in the basketball department.
Yeah, essentially. So, I mean, you know, there are rules about recruitment as it relates to how someone can be on a staff and, you know, and allow recruitment of family members, essentially. And so, you know, they have to be very careful about what his position is, because usually you have to have someone like Milt on the bench to count as being eligible to recruit someone's family member. You can't just give them some back office job to try to entice the family that way. So I'll actually have to kind of check all the way through this to make sure that I understand what kind of job he's taken, because there are very strict rules on, believe it or not, strict rules on
they're not enforced. The NCAA can't enforce them, but there are strict rules.
Yeah, right. I mean,
it appears to be a hybrid position, okay, which is how they're gonna get around it.
Right. So he's like the fifth assistant on the bench, but also working in operations or something like that. Is what you're getting at?
Yeah. Director of Player Development and Alumni Relations.
Milt's a really good guy, it's nice of Kenny to take care of his friends and the people that he played with. I think that probably kind of sews up if he goes to college. I've always said
I think that's a possibility too.
He won't want to disappoint family members by going to Kentucky or to Louisville, and so I expect him to go to one of those developmental leagues and get paid. That's what I'm calling. But this certainly gives U of L the inside track. By the way, Louie, tomorrow at 10:30, we're going to have Ben Roberts on.
Oh, good.
Us. You mentioned the Nike tournament.
Yeah.
Ben writes for the Herald Leader and is kind of the recruiting guru.
Yep.
And so, you know, as far as Kentucky and U of L fans, Wagner is the headliner this weekend out at the fairgrounds. But we'll get him on tomorrow to talk about some of the other great players that are going to be playing basketball in Louisville this weekend.
Well, I mentioned it very quickly yesterday, but I think we need to kind of make a show decision here. Do you want Megan Devine again this Friday?
Sure.
Back in studio.
Absolutely.
Talk some horses. Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
right,
we'll do that. We'll do that on Friday, and some big races coming up. None, I don't think, that involve three-year-olds, but there are some big races for older horses around the country. Yeah, that'd be terrific.
Awesome. All right. We'll finagle Megan back in here. There you go.
Okay. It'll be good. And I'll be in studio Friday.
That's right. It'll be great.
Yeah, so we can do that. We can do that. So what else do we want to talk about there? June is kind of a slow month as far as sports talk is concerned.
Yeah, you know, just a couple of things. You know, we talk about little different things that happen in sports and where they are, where they're based, and those sorts of things. The NFL is going to keep the combine in Indianapolis for the next couple of years at least. Are you interested in those sorts of events? Have you ever been to an NBA combine? Do you like that they move it around, or do you like these more permanent spots?
No, I attended a number of them when I was in the front office,
right,
and they were always in Chicago. Now the summer leagues, where you know they have they play games, teams put together summer teams that you know usually consist of the draft choices, some free agents, and maybe one or two of the rookie players from the year before that didn't play a whole lot, and those kind of move around. They were when I was at Denver, the biggest one was in Utah, in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay.
And now they have one in California. I think there's one in Vegas, and they move around. The combines only the NBA combine has only been in Chicago for as long as I can remember.
Wasn't it in California this year? I'm trying to remember now. You got me thinking.
I think it was in Chicago.
Okay. So when you were there, did you learn things when you were there? Did you feel like it was a worthwhile trip for someone in your position at the time?
Yeah, because when they had just now, nobody works out. In fact, I just read a story this morning about is the combine even worth going to? And one of the players that they singled out was Shaedon Sharpe.
Right.
And Shaedon Sharpe's agent had a workout that was not open to the public. Only representatives from the NBA could come and watch it. I don't think the media is allowed in. But they do very simple things. They do everything at half speed. They do some measuring. They do some drills. They do some shooting. And the argument was nobody knows what changed. He's the mystery man of the lottery. Because nobody's seen him play. And the argument was you could go to this agent's workout, but it was all orchestrated. He wasn't going to do anything that would hurt,
sure,
his draft position. And so the point of this article that I read this morning was, why even bother? Mm. But going back to what your question, Louie, they had just started the top people not working out. The way it started out, and it started out 30 years ago, that maybe the top two or three picks wouldn't come in and play. Everybody else would come in and play, and they'd do drills, they'd play games, they'd scrimmage. And as the years went by, more and more people opted out,
right,
thinking, you can only hurt your draft prospects. You can't help them by playing. So that now we've gotten to the point where hardly anybody plays in the games. But I always enjoyed them. The one guy that we drafted that wound up being just a great, great guy was Ryan Bowen out of Iowa.
Oh, okay.
And it was that there were three games. They do it at Moody Bible College, and there's three full courts with a running track up above. And so most of the general managers and the scouts stand up above on the running track watching the three games. And so I'm watching, there's three games going on, and there's this one kid that keeps drawing my attention because he's playing so hard and he's making the other people on the court look bad, not because he's a great player, but because he's playing so hard. And so we took Ryan Bowen in the second round, and he played with the Nuggets, had a long career. He was the perfect guy to have at the end of the bench,
right,
because he never complained about his playing time. He felt blessed to be on an NBA team, and when the things got lethargic or slow, I'd put Ryan in the game again to embarrass everybody else on the team because he played so hard,
right,
and they were going through the motions. But I picked him out of the combine in Chicago, and Ryan to this day lives in Denver. He's on this.
On the staff,
not,
right?
He's not one of the three assistants on the bench, but he's one of the guys behind the bench at player development, and has made a career. And the argument could be made that his whole career was based on the fact that he played really hard at the combine in Chicago.
That's interesting. Yeah, he scored 1,300 points, over 1,000 rebounds in the league. So I mean, it's not like he wasn't there. All right, so I have to ask you, because you're Dan Issel, Shaedon Sharpe, I want two different answers. Are his handlers doing the right thing by him at this point? And then how does Dan Issel feel about how his handlers are handling him?
Well, when we had Cal on, Cal came on the show when there was a lot of speculation going on about whether he was going or whether he was staying. And at that time, Cal said, it hasn't been decided yet. He said, I talked to his parents once a week. I talked to his handlers. But he asked Mike and I the question, if we find out he's the sixth or seventh pick in the draft, what am I going to tell him?
Right. Go.
And Mike and I I both said, you tell him to go. Yep. I mean, if he's going to be drafted that high, he has to go, Louis. There's really, and I know that's going to anger Big Blue Nation that thinking that he took advantage of the situation and took advantage of the program. But if you're going to get drafted that high, you've got to go. Now, on the other side, if I was a general manager today in the NBA, would I be comfortable taking this kid that high in the NBA draft? Absolutely not. Because, you know, we haven't seen him. He went, Louis, in one summer, basically one tournament. He showed out at Peach Jam last summer.
Yep.
He went from being out of the top 100 to being the number one prospect in the country in a matter of weeks. Mm. I don't know if I was a general manager, I'd be real uncomfortable taking him that high. Especially, you know, everybody talks about the top three, Holmgren and Bancheros and Smith. But this is a much deeper draft than just those three.
Oh, I agree with you.
And you can get a really solid player at six or seven that has shown at least that he can play in college. You know, this kid hadn't shown he can do that. So I'd be real leery.
Yeah, I mentioned it on the day after the draft lottery with you that I wasn't heartbroken that the Pistons slipped to five because I felt like Troy Weaver could still get a good player at five. And so, yeah, I think it's that kind of draft as well. So, no, it's interesting. Yeah, if he ends up going to the top 10, obviously they did right by the kid, right? I mean, no question asked. And so it'll be interesting. I'll be interested to watch the reaction down the line of fans around here, whether they root for the guy in the league or if they kind of just go, eh. Because people really rooted for Enes Kanter, and I know it's a different it's a very different situation, obviously, with Enes, who, by the way, if in the modern era, in the last couple of years, would have been totally eligible to play now. Right. And
yeah.
So
yeah.
The no, poor guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
And I think he would have been a fine college player too. So it's really too bad.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. But you know, you look back at Milt's son, Milt Wagner's son, yeah, that played for Cal in Memphis. If he hadn't told him to go pro because he wanted to come back. Hey, can you imagine you're sitting there, coach, I want to come back and play here at Memphis again next year. And the coach is saying, no, I'm not going to let you.
Right.
You're not coming back. You got to go to the NBA. And I think he wound up signing a contract that he made about $8 million. Well, if he comes back to Memphis and gets hurt, like he did in the NBA, he can kiss that $8 million goodbye.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
If he's a top 10 pick, he's got to go. And I know that's going to make some people unhappy, but he's got to go. And from everything I'm reading and all the mock drafts I'm seeing, they're saying that he's a top 10 pick. So we'll see where that all winds up.
DeJuan, of course, in 2002 went sixth overall in the draft. So, yep, had good advice from the coach there.
yep. Well, I hear the music, and so a reminder that tomorrow we'll have Ben Roberts on at 10:30 to talk about the tournament for the high school creme de la creme of the high school players at Freedom Hall this week. Louis, thank you very much. Another great job. I appreciate it. And I want you and Avery to go in there and have Uncle Herschel's favorite just for me. Okay?
Sounds good.
We'll be back again tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We hope you are too. Have a great day, everybody.
Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Body Armor Edge is sports hydration with a boost of caffeine. With 100 milligrams of caffeine and 1,000 milligrams of electrolytes, Body Armor Edge is boosted hydration for today's athlete. Get your Body Armor Edge today at your local Kroger.